Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where sales leaders teach you what's working for them and how you can build it yourself.
This episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast is brought to you by our sales coaching and consulting services. Are you looking to create repeatable, scalable, and predictable revenue? We've helped thousands of companies grow their business with tailored expert advice backed by testing to ensure they establish the best practices that'll work for them. Head over to bit.ly/predictable revenue coaching to learn more. Buying the wrong tools or even the right tools before you're ready can be detrimental to your sales process and set you back months and tens of thousands of dollars. I'm your host, Sarah Hicks, and today on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting to an expert about how to build the right sales tech stack for your business. He's been helping customers make magic with their marketing and sales tech for more than 13 years. He was the director of sales at Ion Interactive, which was co-founded by MarTech pioneer Scott Brinker, and was an instrumental part in their acquisition. He was also head of sales at Linux Academy, and helped the company successfully exit via acquisition. And he's now the VP of sales at Vega.io. Asa Hochhauser, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Hello, hello, Sarah. Nice to be here. Super excited. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, me too. Let's start kind of even before the purchasing or the choosing around the tech stack, the sales tech stack, Asa. What are the things that you need to do before you get to that point in your business?
Yeah, sure. So I think one thing that a lot of companies know they need to do, but have a hard time of figuring out when to do it, is just really educating their sales team on who their buyer is and what's the best way to go about approaching them. So when I think about like the evolution of getting to a sales tech stack, I think about it almost like your onboarding program, and that always should start with understanding at the deepest level who your buyer is, what their biggest pain points, what does their day-to-day look like. I always say you should know their job better than they do is step one.
Cool. And why do you think that factors in kind of to the stack itself?
Yeah. So I would say the next step is actually going in and learning more about your own product, right? And understanding how that product solves the problems. And then when you have those two things in place, then you can start to look about, all right, how do I take this knowledge that I have and go and share it with the world? And with the amount of amazing tools out in the marketplace today, it just makes a lot of sense to look for tools that are going to help you to do that in an efficient manner. And that's going to give you the data that you need to continue to iterate. But you don't want to do that before you have those foundational pieces in play, because they'll just accelerate bad behaviors and really upset your buyers, is what I've seen happen in the past. And there's a few other key things there as well, just about being comfortable about your workflows and getting trained on those things as well that are important, so you don't confuse yourself and kind of have that analysis paralysis before you can even, you know, type up your first email or make that first phone call.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what are the things that you should be considering when you are then getting ready to choose your tools?
So there's a lot of them. I would definitely recommend making sure you break out each thing using some sort of spreadsheet, you know, so you can stay on top of them. First and foremost is something the best buyers do, and things that I learned the hard way to make sure I'm tracking all the right things, because you get to the final purchase and you're like, damn, I forgot to think about that one thing or ask them about this one question. So I think it's super important, but I think the team is super important. Who's going to actually be using the tools? How's that going to impact their day to day? And do they have buy-in in the purchase of the tech and using the tech? Hopefully you're going and purchasing the tech because you've had that feedback loop going with the people that will be using it. And they've shared exactly what their pain points are, what they're hoping to achieve, so you can map back to that. And then having a post-purchase plan, so you know how you're going to roll it out, you know, based on who the people are. What kind of training are they going to need? How is this going to impact their day? What's the time that you need to dedicate to making sure that they are able to learn the new way of working, if that's the case? So I think the team is super important piece of it. Integrations are a huge piece of it. How is it going to integrate with other tools that your team are using? And what are you hoping to achieve via those integrations, right? So if you think about like sales engagement platforms, there's a lot of automation that you can do via those sales engagement platforms that are dependent on fields that it might be in Salesforce or a marketing automation platform. So thinking about those, you know, if that's something you're looking to take advantage of is super important. Also the data play, right? So a lot of things that I had never thought about when I first started implementing tech was like, how am I actually going to make sure that I'm getting the right data that's usable? So understanding what you're going to track up front, make sure that that is captured in a clean way so that it can be surfaced downstream, I think is super important as well. So integrations, I think, you know, the team, making sure you have buy-in, thought about the time and resources it's going to take to make sure that you're successful and that there's going to have that focus, you know, necessary to a successful launch and ongoing implementation and usage of any tool that you do move forward with.
Mm-hmm. And what about, because there are so many tools that do similar things on the market, like if we're taking the sales engagement tool as an example, even further, there are a lot of sales engagement tools and they're obviously have a lot of crossover features and some have, you know, different features, whatever. How do you start to even differentiate those types of tools when making that kind of purchase decision for the first time?
Yeah, that's a great point. So one thing I didn't mention just in your last question as well that ties directly into this is just goals, right? What are you overall trying to achieve, you know, when you're looking to implement a technology? That the technology should really directly map back to those. So you might find that a certain tool has a lot of features and maybe it's a pretty heavy investment up front to capture and you don't even really know what you need yet. Maybe you're early on to this game. So if you can think about what your goals are and where you're at from a maturity perspective, I think you can map that back to a tool. Maybe it's something that you need a free trial with and you only need an eighth of what the tool actually provides. So do you go with that scalable platform that will grow, or do you just really need a point solution that can help you here and now that you can try out? You know, so I think thinking back to exactly what you're looking to achieve, do you need call recording or do you just need a way to make more dials? You know, both great features, both accomplished amazing things, but really, what are you looking to achieve? You know, both short term, but also long term as well, if that's something that's important to you.
Right. Makes sense. And talk to me a bit more about data. So you mentioned that an important thing to note as you're out there making, you know, your choices and you're doing your research on the tools is understanding what data you want to capture from that tool so that you go in with that plan rather than, you know, after setting it up being like, how do I pull this data from it? So talk to me more about how data plays into it and kind of between different tools and all that kind of stuff.
For sure. Well, you can go so many different directions here. Just in my day-to-day, I'm working a lot with marketing technology leaders. And one of the biggest things that they have trouble getting right and often overlook is what we call a taxonomy. And a taxonomy is essentially your spec, your definition of things that you want to collect and then pass downstream so that you can surface it, you know, in a meaningful way. And a lot of times that there isn't enough effort put into that. So that results in messy data downstream. Like I have talked to a whole lot of sales reps that have said, I can really get a ton of insights from the things that my marketing team is doing, but it is possible. So if you can really think about what you're collecting and how that's going to be surfaced, that's super important. Secondly, if you think about the tools that you're using, a lot of times sales technologies are amazing at doing things like acceleration and, you know, surfacing conversations. But really, when it comes to like slicing and dicing data and starting to make decisions, they're not very good at it. They have some capabilities, but there's not a whole lot that are good at it. There are some that are specific to analytics. Like I've been a big Insight Squared user throughout my career. I bought it multiple times at multiple different companies. And it's been amazing to help me kind of build, you know, make decisions in a sales environment, but that's all they do. And then there's even some limitations there as well, because it all depends on the data that you're pushing into it. So Again, thinking about what you want the outcome to be from a data perspective, thinking about how, where that data is going to come from, is it structured in a way that it passes downstream, is going to be usable by whatever you need to use to make decisions, and then being able to surface that in a way that's meaningful, whether it's to a sales rep or a sales leader. I think both very different scenarios, but both important to understand how they're going to be using that data and making sure that it is usable. Often overlooked, understood importance, but again, not enough time I found has been put in making sure that we get that part right.
Right. And just kind of pulling on that same thread, I know in this episode, we're focusing on the sales tech stack, but of course, sales is a part of the larger kind of revenue generating organization. So do you kind of factor into the considerations if you're coming in and, you know, say you're a new sales leader coming in and you're going to, you know, make some changes in the tech stack, or you don't have enough tools, and so you're going to fill in some of those gaps. Do you kind of factor in, for instance, the MarTech or something that customer success is using with the idea that they should all talk to each other? Or is that something that's a sort of more a strategic decision that should be passed down from, you know, CEO or something like that?
I believe that it's 100% one of the most important things that you can do is start to, we all talk about it, right? How do you align cross departmentally? That's why revenue operations is having its moment right now, right? It's because we want to be able to tie all the departments together, make that seamless buying experience and customer experience. And the way you do that is by connecting, you know, the teams and aligning them on our emotions, but also making decisions across the entire organization. So kind of going back to the work we do a lot in my current role is we're talking a lot to MarTech leaders, but we very quickly find sales leaders being brought into that conversation, as well as customer success, leaders and even product leaders coming into that, that motion, because they're starting to find like the most important data that we could use to make decisions all the way up at marketing are in these departments, right? So how do we start to connect all these together and make sure that everyone's able to see what's going on? And a lot of times we'll even find that something I started with a conversation with a marketing operations leader, you know, one of the first things that we start working on are sales playbooks, right? Starting to get like their funnel from MQL to, you know, close one really tied down, and how is that being converted and what are the definitions? And that all just stemmed from, I don't know how to tell what's working and what's not working on the marketing side. Very quickly goes into sales, and then even, you know, into product and customer success, depending on the organization.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Well, before we dive into kind of a live example of how to build a tech stack from the ground up, we alluded to it in the intro, like when you get this wrong, you waste time. It can be detrimental to the business. So tell me more kind of tangibly, some examples from your experience or that you've seen from other companies, what happens when you get this wrong?
Yeah, for sure. So I think it goes back to when you understanding how the team will use it and making sure that you've thought about that up front. When I was when I bought my first sales engagement platform as a sales leader, one of my main goals was to, I hate to say, but was to make more dials. We had big numbers, and the immediate way I saw to be able to help hit that was more output, right? It was kind of a classic thing, but, you know, 10 years ago, one thing that I noticed, although now all we had to do is click a button and there's, you know, half the clicks to make that dial and capture notes and do all of that. It's still, the team was still having to think a lot about how they were going to do that. And because we didn't put the right training in place to really say, all right, here's the lead. This is where the lead's coming from. This is how it's going to get here. This is how you're going to find it. This is how you're going to fire the cadence. This is how you, and everyone wanted to be personalized and, you know, be smart about their outreach. This is how you're going to leverage the data. We just didn't really surface that all in a clean, meaningful way so they could actually work more efficiently. And we didn't make a dial more than we did before the technique. Than the tech. That was a big lesson learned where I very quickly understood that it's more than, you know, just what's the technical capabilities of what the technology can do, but how does that integrate into the entire workflow of what's going on?
Mm-hmm. And so then did you have to like start again, get a new tool, or was it just about like retraining the people? What was kind of the impact there?
Yeah. It was Not, we didn't go out and buy a new tool. I mean, the capabilities that we needed were there, but I think part of it was understanding what the capabilities are. Through the sales process, if I would have better known some of the things that I should have known, at that time, I would have asked different questions through the sales process, and I would have, thought about these things to, when I was implementing, rather than just like this short-term goal. So mm-hmm. of making more dials. So yeah, I think that is a tip for, sales leaders and ops leaders that are going out and evaluating these tools, is really thinking through beyond just your immediate need and be short-sighted there, but think about the implementation and how it's going to fit in. And then, call it to the seller as well, is like making sure that you are challenging them to think about buying your tech in mm-hmm. the right way so they can get the most value out of it. As a seller, tell a good buyer, right, of your technology. And because they ask really hard questions and really thoughtful questions that maybe go beyond the general scope of what your product can do. And that's a good sign that you have a good buyer on your hands, and they have that spreadsheet, and they have multiple people bringing their perspectives. If that's not there and they're just kind of asking those surface level questions, as a seller, you want to get them thinking. It might slow your mm-hmm. sale down a little bit, but in the long run, you're going to have a more valuable customer.
Yeah, because you're getting them to think of like the impact of when this is implemented well, what can that look like? How can you help them achieve their goals? All that stuff versus just like, here's a tool. It'll increase your dials by 25%. Good luck.
And exactly. And so if you think about to where we first started with the buyer education, how was a seller mm-hmm. even able to do that, right? And so we take it back to really understanding who the buyer is so that you can sell your tech in an appropriate way and set them up for success. And I think it all comes full circle, which is why I'm really big on the sales playbook and getting the training in place in an effective way before, one, go set buy tech, but two, even train your sales team on the tech that you do have.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Well, let's wrap it up with a live example. So let's imagine for the purposes of this example that we are a sales leader tasked with, of course, building this sales tech stack. Say we've got two prospectors and we've got one closer, and we're looking to kind of build out that first tech stack. What are kind of like the table stakes things that we need to be successful with this team?
Wow, that's a good and tough question. For me personally, I think I might be somewhat biased. I'm extremely analytical when it comes to running a business. And so I always want to figure out what's the best way to be able to surface what's going on, if that's even possible. So one thing I often see is companies say, let's just say that these two prospectors and AEs are net new, and you just plug them in and you don't have much going on. Invest in operations, I think is super important. Like, how can you make sure that you're capturing as much data as possible, being able to surface that in a usable way so that you can start to make decisions. And then from there, use those points of data to decide what needs to come next. If you're finding that you're running a sales cycle that is maybe dropping out quite often, in the discovery phase, and you're having trouble getting visibility into that, maybe you just stand up conversation intelligence. I mean, that's one thing I love about conversation intelligence is that it's pretty easy to get started with, and you get immediate value from it, I find, as compared to some tools where there's a lot more of an onboarding curve and it takes longer to get to value. So I love, again, setting up operations, setting up a way to capture data, whether that's a CRM, whether that's an analytics tool that can capture data based on actions that are taking place. Like I said, one of the first tools I often plug in if I have CRM data already is Insight Squared, because that can help me get to a lot of insights really quickly about the funnel. There's a lot of competitors to Insight Squared as well that are amazing, I'm sure. And then from there, I'm making decisions on like, how can I move the needle, whether it's on a conversion rate somewhere in the funnel, and then plug in the appropriate tool to do that. And hand in hand with tech, right, you also need a person to do that. So I'd say making an investment in some way, shape, or form in a human body to help you with this, if you are the sales leader, And it doesn't have to mean go out and hire, you know, a stud sales operations person right away. What I've done in the past is I look at who I have internally that could help me out of the gate. And oftentimes that's my marketing counterpart, or someone in marketing that is already kind of have their hands in some of this already, and helping them on the sales side, and then kind of build out value there, and then start to go make that higher as you continue to grow. So I think it's a combination of data capture, surfacing that data in a human body to really help you get going. And then once you start to understand more about the business, you can figure out what to plug in, and it's going to be different for every company.
Yeah, makes sense. And what do you think about like the basic automation tools? What's kind of like the first thing you need as a prospector? What are your thoughts on, yeah, like that basic tool?
Yeah, I think a connection, like I love these tools that either have direct connections with each other, or, you know, even like a Zapier that's able to connect tools together. I think it's super important because it allows you to connect things from, you know, one of the most important connections I believe out there is anything that you're doing from a marketing perspective, able to surface that to sales in a meaningful way. So the integration between marketing automation and Salesforce, I think is very important. I keep saying Salesforce, but any CRM that you are using. Yeah. Being able to get, you know, a first touch, last touch type of understanding, and then being able to see what's happening in between the lines. I was surprised as I got more and more into my career, how hard it seems to be for a lot of companies to just do that. Like just to understand where that first touch is, where that last touch is before an opportunity was created. And then what happened in between there, or even just where's that first touch and where are they at today in the journey and what's happened in between there. If you can get that to a sales team, a good salesperson, they're going to be able to have much better prospecting outreach. They're going to be smarter when they show up to that first discovery call. They're going to understand where the prospect's interests lie as they continue to engage with the brand, and that's going to facilitate follow-up and down the road conversations and help them, you know, close deals. So yeah, that's what I'm big on, is like bridging that gap between marketing and sales as best you can.
Cool. Absolutely makes sense. Well, thank you so much for that, for all the kind of insight on where to start, what you should be thinking about and preparing before you even start purchasing those tools, then how to pick the right tool, what to consider when you are making those purchasing decisions, when it comes to like data, the function that you need this tool to actually go out and achieve for you, considering the, you know, the training, the onboarding for your people, all of that kind of stuff, the silos between the tech and the data that you want to capture. And then of course the things that go wrong when you don't get this right, which hopefully having listened to this episode, people know now how to get it right when they're going out and they're building these tech stacks. And then the live kind of practical example at the end there, very, very helpful. If people want to learn more from you about this, about anything else, where can they get in touch with you?
Sure. I'm live on LinkedIn, like a lot of other people, but I think that's probably the best way to communicate with me and yeah, dive into this topic much deeper than we have done today, because there's a lot more to cover. So happy to chat about this with anyone that might be interested.
Cool. Thank you so much, Asa. It was great having you on the podcast. And yeah, great having all of you guys joining us again on this episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. If you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button on YouTube so that you can be notified weekly when we bring out these great episodes with experts like Asa Hockhauser. Thank you. And we'll catch you again next time.